Well, what an honor to be here. And I'm telling you, I was having so much fun in the sanctuary. I'm like, but do we really have to leave? I want to stay here. But thankfully, we get to hear more of her in a little bit. And I just want to pay honor to the pastor of this glorious church, the staff. And for me personally, I want to thank Lance and Allie Pierce. And I love them dearly. And Allie has been my daughter's person for a very long time. And when you hear more of my story, you'll understand why Allie was such a blessing. Okay, so how many, oh, do I have a clicker? Or are you gonna click for me? Oh, you're so good. You don't have to yet. But I do want us to just go to the Lord, because you didn't come to hear me. You came to feel Him, to experience Him, to find and know the hope and joy and peace and passion and desire He has for you. Father, we love you. Lord, we honor you. Father, this is your microphone. This is your platform. And this is your story that you've given me. I honor you. Sir, I just ask you, Holy Spirit, you take my words, and I ask, Lord, that you would just speak to every single one of your daughter's hearts. Encourage them, lift them up, empower them. Whatever it is they're lacking, you are the God of more than enough, of more than enough. And we thank you, Jesus. Amen. So I don't know how many of you have kind of, when you were a little girl, you know, we had the little fairy tale and, you know, the once upon a time. Well, how many of you, your once upon a time took lots of turns and crooks and crannies and roller coaster rides and all of that? Well, so my once upon a time, and Lance can show my precious family, my once upon a time started with my husband, Perry Kite. We met at Lee University, like all of my family and extended family and parents. And this is our son, Matthew, and our daughter, Tiffany. Well, we met at Lee University, like I said, and we were soon to celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary. Had the trip planned, Hawaii, the whole bit. But August 2007, Perry was diagnosed with stage 3 lung cancer. He had never smoked a day in his life. There was zero family history of cancer. And we literally were shocked. But I'm going to back up before that part of the story. In 2007, we had been at Trinity Chapel, which is in Cobb County, down the street a little bit, and he had been on staff there for almost 10 years, and we loved it. It was our most glorious, we were together, our kids, it was just like we loved everything. Well, Perry resigned because he was going to take a full-time senior pastor in LaGrange, Georgia. So we resigned August 2007. A month later, we go to LaGrange. But before we go, have you ever just had your heart so broken that you feel it breaking on the inside of you? Our son was a senior in high school, and our daughter was a sophomore. And Cobb County and LaGrange are not close. We were going to have to leave our son his senior year. This was the hardest transition. And being in the ministry as long as we had moved, but nothing like this, nothing to this degree. And we wouldn't imagine making Matthew leave his senior year. So we were going to leave him in Cobb County, and we were going to go to LaGrange. Have y'all ever whined to God? Like whined and don't expect an answer? So I'm taking our dog out. I'm on the front porch, and I literally said, God, I feel like Abraham. You are making me lay everything that I love and hold close and put it on an altar. How in the world are you going to make me hold up a sword? And I feel like I'm sacrificing my family. Okay, I was whining. I promise you, I wasn't praying. I wasn't looking for an answer. I was venting. And he said to me so sweetly, he said, what did I do for Abraham? I'm telling y'all, I'm like, wait, you're talking back to me about this. And I said, you gave him, I said, God, you gave him a ram in a thicket. I mean, I kept looking up. It was like, I said, you gave him a ram in a thicket. And he said, everything that you need will be in that ram. I held on to that statement for a long, long time. And so I want to say to you, what do you need? What are you needing for God to say, everything you need will be in that ram? Yours is going to be different than mine. You're not going to need the same thing. But you know what that is? It's provision. You need God to provide, whether it's a way out, whether it's a way in, whether it's a relationship, whatever it is, you need that. Well, I'm like, God, I just sounded like a brat. And you are so kind to me. So we go to LaGrange. He resigns August 2007. We go to LaGrange months later, have the church service, and they were so excited we were there, and they were so kind. Well, had another little hitch in the road. He was diagnosed with cancer 8 days after our first Sunday as pastors. So this church that was excited, have you ever gotten a Christmas present you wanted to give back? That's what I felt like. I thought, oh my Lord, we are the Christmas present they don't want anymore, and they want to give us back. But I will tell you, what I had to do was say, okay, God, there's something in what you're trying to say to me about the ram in the thicket. So I studied Abraham like it was my J-O-B. And this is what, in Romans 4:19-22, I had to find out, how did Abraham, he was going to raise that sword. In spite of being nearly 100 years old, when the promise of having a son was made, his faith was so strong that it could not be undermined by the fact that he and Sarah, they could not conceive. They were incapable. But he didn't see incapable. He saw the fact of God's promise. But he never stopped believing God's promise, for he was made strong in his faith to father a child. For he was convinced that God had all the power needed. But you know what, Abraham? He thought, I can't do this. Sarah can't do this. So God, this is all on you. How many of you are in a God, this is all on you place where you're just saying, I'm telling you, you got to do something, God, because I don't know how I'm going to get through this, out of this, persevere through this. But he utterly and completely believed God. Yo, I'm telling you, that's it. And when Perry was diagnosed with cancer, you've not been around me long, but I am like the power of, I'm like Pollyanna positivity, almost to the fact that I could probably get on your nerves. I did my husband's many times, because he was Eeyore and I was the one that jumped up and down all the time. And, but people thought, oh, poor Melissa, she's in denial. She has no idea, because it went from stage 3 to 4 rapidly. I never ignored Perry's diagnosis. I never ignored the facts. I can promise you, I don't have a medical degree to tell you what I did, but every night they had put something like talc powder in his lungs, and there was something here that I had to put into his lungs and pump his lungs. So I was very aware of what was going on, but I was more convinced of the truth of God than I was any kind of diagnosis. But I'm telling you, again, I look back at Abraham. And what God promised Abraham, look to the heavens and look at all the stars that you see. Count the stars, so shall your offspring be. Then it said, Abraham believed. And we know the rest of the story. God tests Abraham. He said, I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to sacrifice him. I want you to go to Mount of Moriah. The next part of that scripture gets me. He said, early the next morning. Okay, If there's something I don't want to do, and I'm not a procrastinator, but I'm going to procrastinate all day long. I'm not going to get up early in the morning. When God's asking me to sacrifice the child I never asked for. It was his promise. By this point, I had already loved him. He had taught him to fish. He had taught him to hunt. He had taught him to love and serve God. So God, how in the world? I didn't ask for this promise, but his faith and trust in God. So I don't know. Every time I think when I'm in a hard trial, I think of James 1. Most of you are going to know what it is. Out of the Message, this is my favorite. Consider it a pure gift. Again, that kind of almost sounds like that Christmas present you want to take back, huh? Consider it a pure gift when tests and challenges come at you on all sides. Is there anybody here like me that you feel like everything is coming? One thing gets solved and then something else comes up. One thing gets solved and it's like, how is this all happening? But they come at you at all sides. But you know that under pressure, your faith-filled life is forced out into the open and it shows its true colors. And then it goes on to say, let it do its final thing so you will become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. I want to be mature. I want to be strong, and I want to be well-developed. But you're telling me that means that I'm going to have to be pushed and pressured and trust when nothing makes sense. I want to be transparent with you. Because you're just going to hear bits and pieces of this story. And I'm embarrassed to tell this, but I have to tell you the truth. Because this is the story he's given me. One of my worst pity parties, I was driving in front of Kennesaw Hospital. And this was when gas was way over $4 a gallon. We were living in LaGrange and his cancer treatment in Cobb County. Our son was at school at Lee University. So putting gas in our cars, one month, was $1,800 a month. Just gas in our cars. We hadn't sold our home in Cobb County yet. How many of you remember what happened in 2007? Not the greatest real estate year. So we couldn't sell our house. We'd already moved. We were living in someone else's house. And so we were basically transporting between two places. And I said, God, this is so ridiculous, but y'all will know that I tell the truth. I don't deserve this. Do you know how much we've spent in gas? We're trying to maintain two homes. Our savings account is almost gone. I've served you my whole life. Again, I was complaining and I was being a brat, but he was gracious because that's who our Father is. And he said, I thought you said you wanted to look like me. You know how we've sung that song our whole life? To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I want is to be like Jesus. We say it cute in a sanctuary, but when we've got to live out those pressures coming at all sides, what are we supposed to do? And I will tell you, you know, we've all heard the story of, you know, when we buy silver and, you know, the silversmith, he's working on it. And where does he put the silver? In the fire. He puts it in the fire and he works it and he works it. And the way he knows it's finished is when he sees his reflection. The January before Perry died, or I'm sorry, before Perry was diagnosed, I was at Trinity Chapel. We were having a worship service, very much like the powerful worship. Wow, I don't even know what to say over the worship. And I was sitting there, my eyes were closed, and I so felt the power and presence of God. And when I say I feel like the Lord speaks to me, I don't hear it audible. I hear it in my heart. I hear it in my spirit. But there's times that it kind of almost like rumbles inside me. And I heard him ask me the question, will you believe me for the impossible? Y'all, I'm telling you, it was so big in me that I looked up to see if anybody else heard it or if anybody else had their hand up. Y'all, I was so excited. It is like I got asked to the prom by the cutest, coolest guy in class. I was thrilled. I'm like, are you kidding me? Yes, I'll believe you for the impossible. Okay, again, I'm showing me. It didn't dawn on me till the next morning that in order to believe for the impossible, you've got to be in a pretty terrible, impossible place. But that's what was fueling me. Oh my goodness, God, this is how you're going to do this. This is how you're going to write this story. I'm going to believe you for the impossible. You know, you gave Abraham and a ram in a thicket. Genesis 22, 4 through 5 again. We got to study Abraham. We will worship and we will come back. God is asking for his promise and he responds with, we will worship. Abraham is showing us there he loves God more than his promise. I mean, when God is asking us for everything and Isaac was his promise, it just didn't make any sense. But he says, we will go, but we will come back. You know, he had his two servants with him, along with Isaac, but he act like, we came, and we will come back. My husband, Perry, had a banner made during his battle with cancer, and it was at our church in LaGrange, and it said, don't let what's wrong with me stop me from worshiping what's right with you. And I will tell you, that man lived it. I can't express to you how thoroughly convinced I was that Perry was going to live. I mean, there was no question in my... We never had the, you know, those conversations that you have when someone's about to die? We didn't have the conversations. We didn't have a plan. There was no anything. But I'm telling you, even one day I was on the phone with my brother, and I said, the good news is I won't be a widow. That's how convinced I was. I was so convinced, and I've always been a huge believer in the power of your words. Like, what you speak, are you speaking negative and death and destruction over your life, over your children, and over that? So, I mean, oh my goodness, I could like go all day about the power of your words. Well, so I was on stage at the church, I had the mic, and I said, y'all are welcome to call pastor, you know, and pray for him, be with him. But if you want to start talking negative, or if you want to tell him about your uncle that had, you know, lung cancer and died, the call's over. And so I was very stern, but kind. So Perry goes up on the stage. I have the mic. It's my story. And so Perry comes up on the stage, and he said, folks, you'll have to excuse my wife. She is a Rottweiler bulldog mix dressed up like a poodle. Well, on November 26, 2008, after 14 months of battling, and if you've ever dealt with anybody that's got cancer, that's why they say you battle cancer. He went to heaven, and I know he heard, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I was in my kid's lap. Perry passed away at Kennesaw Hospital. We were in ICU. And I don't even know how to say it was in my kid's life. It's like, you know, we just all become one. I can't explain how it happens. And I looked at them, because, you know, if you read the story of Jesus when he was walking on the earth, when he would perform miracles, he had to wait until what? For the glory of the glory of God to be revealed. So I looked at my kids. And y'all, I'm not this smart. I'm not this great with words, but I know it was the Holy Spirit. And I said, kids, apparently God's going to get the most glory by the three of this walking this out. Because we had documented his sickness. We had pictures. In fact, everybody I met, I said, you're going to read the story of my husband's miraculous healing. Y'all, when I say there was no doubt, there was zero. Zero doubt. Well, after I got out of my kid's lap, I got in Perry's bed. And again, I can tell you, if you know how little I am not this big, but the Spirit of God rose up in me. And I'm like, I am drawing a line for my family because my children believed me, how much I thought he was going to be healed. My kids don't have the letters. My kids don't have the things on those special days because we believed. But I got in his bed and I said, Father, you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the healer of all things. You are the Alpha and the Omega. And the devil will regret the day he ever touched my family. Because as for me and my house, we will serve God. And I'm telling you, I was so convinced. Well, then that came the point. It was time to, many of you have had to do this. When your loved one dies, you have to clean up the room. You have to, like, take all their things. And one of the things I had, you can't tell in that picture, but he's 6'9". I'm barely 5'4". In fact, I'm probably not being real truthful with you. I think I've shrunk. I'm probably more in the 5'3.5". But I was carrying his size, I think they were 14 or 15, tennis shoes. And someone that I had just met that day, she reminded me of this. I don't remember at all. And she said, Melissa, I so knew you believed. She said, because when you got in the elevator with me with those tennis shoes, you just said, wow, I didn't see that happening. I had no idea. I mean, I'm not even going to go into the part of the story that we sold our house in Cobb County. We were building a house in LaGrange that we were supposed to spend so much money as earnest money. Perry said, oh, no, 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 we're going to double that. As a step of faith saying, this is our house, this is our home, this is where we are going to live. And we wrote scriptures over every board in that house. So we had no place to go. But sometimes, y'all, you know this, we got to battle for our faith. We're in war. And one thing I want to bring up, with Abraham and Isaac. You know, Abraham said, we will go and we will come back. Because Abraham knew, I don't know the how, but I know the who. Okay, so when you're 45 years old and you end up living in a retirement village, you're not very well loved in a retirement village when you've got a teenage daughter, but that was our story. We had no place to go. And some people, that's when Isaac looked at his dad. I mean, can you imagine? We're walking up. He's done this things like this before. He said, Dad, we have the wood, but where's the sacrifice? And what did Abraham say? The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. And I want to tell you a backstory of what a miracle my story is. Fear has been an animal that I fought all my life. It had me bound. Well, unfortunately, we know we can pass our traits on to our children. Well, Tiffany was maybe about 14 or 15, and I was tucking her in bed, and she was telling me about her fears. And, you know, of course, what'd I do? I quoted the word. And I said, well, you know what, sweetie? God, the word says, perfect love cast out all fear. I walked out of her room, I got to the opening of her door, and the Lord spoke to me and said, what is perfect love? And I said, it's you. And he said, if you love me and trust me, you will walk anywhere I ask you to walk. That was long before his diagnosis. And I can promise you, he has been there everywhere I've walked. So Genesis 22, they got to the place, they bound Isaac. Okay, y'all, when you think of this story, he's not some little boy. Isaac is a grown adult. In fact, theologians, some believe between 20 and 27, but then there's another camp that believes he was closer to 37. So can you imagine wrapping and binding this promise? Can you imagine what was going on in his head? So they got to the place, bound Isaac. Abraham stretched out his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called him and said, do not call him out by name. Then he said, do not lay a hand on your child or do anything to him. Now I know you fear God. You've not held back your only son. Then Abraham looked up and y'all know what he saw, right? A ram. And it was caught in a thicket. How much God wants to lavishly love you. When he formed that ram, he made it with those horns wrapped because Abraham was gonna need a provision. And it got stuck in the thicket. And Abraham looked up and he saw it. I want you to make this personal to you. God was saying to Abraham, I got you. I got you. I've got your provision. He's not just saying that to Abraham, ladies. He is saying to you, I will go to whatever lengths I have to do to perform whatever it is you need. If you need me to form an animal that's going to be your provision, I will do it. He has you. Truly. So when Perry passed away, this sounds ridiculous, but I could not imagine. We had been married almost 25 years. I could not imagine sleeping under the same bedspread we had. I don't know. What? It was so weird, but it was like, I can't. And I will just tell you, we had no plan B financially either. So I wasn't really sure, you know, what to do, how much to spend. I just knew I need to be cheap. So when you want to get cheap, what do? You go to Costco. So I went to Costco with my friend and I saw this bedspread and I looked at it and it was like $186. And I said, okay, it'll do. I mean, it had like all the little accessories. And so, you know, we go and check it out and this is my bedspread. It's beautiful, isn't it? But let me tell you the cool part of the story. So I get up to the checkout and, you know, I just lost my husband. And the checkout, you know, the girl, how are you doing? I said, I am just doing great. I am so blessed. And she rang it up. I mean, I still have the visual. Shush. And she said, it was less than $36. It was like $34. I said, are you kidding me? She said, girl, was there any more back there? I said, I don't know. And I said, but you may tell you what you're seeing? And she said, what? And I said, that's a ram in the thicket. She said, girl, I'm going to run. And I said, if I had on the right shoes, I'd run with you. So God kept performing his way of showing me provision. So that was my provision. Well, then, you know, Perry died the day before Thanksgiving. So when everybody was out shopping on Black Friday, my children were buying funeral clothes. But even then, they went to a store that had someone that Perry had done their premarital counseling and had married them. And they said, I want to buy your clothes. And they kept saying, oh, no. He said, no, I want to. And so they bought their clothes. So a few months later, I was making said bed in the retirement community. It's not advised, guys. I'm just telling you, it's not advised. And I was making my bed, and this isn't my verbiage, but he said, do you know why I chose your bedding? I said, no, sir. He said, so you would always know that you're resting under my provision. Well, when I share this story, many people have asked, like, how much exactly was the comfort? I don't know why, the bedspread. I don't know why that was a big deal, but it was. So I had it in my billfold wallet at that point, and I pulled it out. It didn't say bedspread. It said comforter. I had never seen that before, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. Father, you truly are. You know, God continually, you know, it's always about God getting the glory, and I knew he was always going to provide. But I'll just tell you, when Perry died, I didn't know what I was going to do, like to bring in money. Like, you know, those things that everyone asks for. Okay, I quit college. I'm not saying this is advice. I'm telling you what I did. I quit college so that I could marry my college sweetheart, which I'm thankful for because that's 8 months I wouldn't have had with him. And I had no kind of trade. And I'd been really good at standing behind that 6'9" man cheering him on and cheering my kids on. So now what? God even brought provision through a way for me to help families in their health. And it is a way, God used it as a way to bridge that gap for me financially. And the company Juice Plus, it's just fruits and vegetables in a capsule. Because also, y'all, I was 45. How many of you know the job market is not searching out 45-year-old widows? And also, too, Tiffany was 15 when her dad got diagnosed. Well, when you're 15, what are you doing? You're learning to drive a car, right? We couldn't teach her because we were going from LaGrange to Cobb County continually in cancer, or he was in the hospital. So when I couldn't do anything because she was 16. She couldn't get around. I had to be there for her. So there's a good part to this story. I believed so strongly for my Boaz, which, by the way, my middle name is Ruth. So again, I don't know if you should name people Ruth, but that's my middle name. So I kept praying, and I even, again, y'all, I am so sassy even when I pray. I'm like, God, you're the one that said that it's not good for man to be alone, which means it's not good for woman to be alone. So I kept praying, God, and I wasn't going to settle. I was not going to settle. So I was a widow for almost 5 years, and I prayed continually that this man would love my children. First of all, that he would love God. Love me, of course, but love God, and that he would love my children as if they were his own. And what people would say to me, which some of it they were using it as a compliment to Perry, because he was bigger than life. He was amazing. And I would say I was believing, well, there's no more good guys left. Have I told you yet how I feel about words? The sass came out again. I said, well, there's one. I did it to every single person. I did it to every. I said, I made my declaration. There's one. And so my, which picture's next, Lance? Okay. So I got married almost 12 years ago. And same time as Lance and Allie. And so, and one thing I kept praying was, Lord, don't let anyone get weary in well-doing, because I felt like it was going to be an introduction. And so Mike Quayle is a pilot, and he bought a special plane. It's called a biplane, which if you're like me, you don't really know what that is. I didn't. But he bought this plane. And he needed an instructor because it was a different type plane than what he, because he's been flying since he was 14. And so he needed an instructor. Well, that instructor is family to my daughter-in-law. So he bought this plane, and the pilot that was teaching him kept saying, my daughter's wanting to introduce you to somebody, and this guy's a fighter pilot. So you can imagine a fighter pilot and another pilot. Well, my daughter's wanting to introduce you. He was not open, was not ready, not anything. Well, then he became open and he became wanting to meet me. I won't tell you why, but so he buys this plane. He meets a guy named Jerry, Jerry's daughter. She said when her dad came in and said, I met a man with a heart of gold. She said, oh my goodness, he's got to meet Melissa. So we finally met, and this is the plane. It's pretty, isn't it? The N stands for North America. So when most of y'all probably know this, I didn't. Every plane, when it is built, has call letters, which means so when they're about to land, they'll say, you know, N835MK is wanting to approach, and they'll talk to him. So he takes me for a flight in this little plane. Y'all, I've got the little skull cap, everything. And I keep looking at this gold thing in the plane that was the call letters. I asked what it was, and he told me. Okay, remember, y'all, it came like that. This plane is what brought us together. That is my birth date and my initials. Yep. I was born August 3rd. We didn't know what the five was, but together we have five kids. And I was Melissa Kite. Okay. Talk about lavish. Hold on to whatever it is you're believing for, even though people want to say that can't happen. That can't happen. Did I believe God for the impossible that my husband was going to live? Yes. Did I ever stop believing in God? No. He was all I had. I'm not exaggerating. I had nothing else but him. I got mad at Perry for dying, but I never got mad at God. But he was all I had. But that picture, you're fine. That picture is a fulfillment of years of praying. We've got to fight for our faith. And she even talked about it this morning. We've all been given a what? Measure of faith, the size of a mustard seed. Do you know that mustard seed, that's actually a weed? And did you know that it can't be killed or destroyed? That's the kind of faith that you have been given. That is the kind of faith. I just have a couple minutes, but I want to just tell you the faithfulness of God through some stories that he's spoken to me. My mom, in fact, Perry and my mom both died. Oh, I didn't show our wedding picture. That's my husband. That is Mike Coyle. But so, I forgot. I'm rushing. My mom and Perry both died different years, but they both died the week of Thanksgiving. One the day before, one the day after. And so, when we were at Trinity, I taught a Sunday school class. Have you ever been saying something, but you feel like while you're talking, you feel like the Lord is speaking to you at the same time? It's like there's multiple people involved in this conversation. And I was teaching, and I remember I was walking, and he said, when you were with your mom in the hospital, you thought you were walking alone. What you didn't see was you were holding on to an IV pump. And I was pumping my grace straight into your veins. Do you know what his grace is? It's not just unmerited favor. It is the ability to do what you cannot do on your own. That is what his grace is. I needed that visual. I needed that to view when I was going through the darkest days of my life. And after my mom passed away, I'm very protective of my parents. My mom was my greatest cheerleader, even to this day. But then I was protective of my precious little daddy that had just lost his wife of all of those decades. So we were living in Cobb County. He was in my basement. I was minding my own business, chopping squash. You know, like you do at Christmas, just chopping. I wasn't praying. And I felt like I heard the Lord say to me, I want to give emotional prosperity. Y'all, this was in 2002. I'd never heard that phrase in my whole life. And I'm like, what does that even mean? I had no idea. But I started looking things up. The only thing that came to me was the scripture out of 3 John that says, I wish above all things that you prosper in health and in your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Well, then I was trying to figure out, okay, but how is that applicable? Because you feel responsible when you feel like he's told you something. And he gave me the visual. When people are prosperous, when bills come in the mail, they don't worry. Do you know why? They have more than enough to meet that need. So when you're emotionally prosperous, it doesn't mean that hard times aren't going to come, because bills still come to people that are prosperous, but they don't fret. Can you imagine, especially in this day and time, where people are so consumed with fears, with all of the things going on, but God wants to give. He wasn't talking to just me. He said, I want people to know. I want my daughters to know. I want to give you emotional prosperity where you have more than enough. It's not you. It's not you. In fact, if I can tell you how little I am, in our marriage at one point, the scripture, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden," made me mad. I'm just honest. It broke my heart because that's not what I was experiencing. But I'm telling you, when you get tied into God and you allow the Holy Spirit to take over of you, you are able to run through a wall, leap over a troop, because you know it's not you. See, you see me telling me that, you see me telling you this story, and you think, "Oh yeah, but she could do that because..." No, I'm not that strong. I'm so little without Him. But what I want you to know is that God wants all of these things for you. All of these things. He truly wants to be whatever it is, whatever you need fashioned. And if you're visual like me, say, "God, you said you got me. What are you going to do?" Okay, let's all pray. Father, oh, we so humbly come before you. Lord, I ask you, there are some hurting women in this room. I feel it. I feel it with every core of my being. And Father, I just ask you, be the God of the impossible. Be the God of the more than enough. Father, I ask that you would give each of them just something that they can hold on, something to grasp, something that they can see that you are there, you are listening, you are watching, and that you want to go out of your way for us. Father, let us see you that way. Don't let us see you as a God that's just sitting there waiting for us to mess up. But you are the God that wants to perform miracles in our life, Jesus. We honor you and we bless you, Jesus. In your holy and righteous name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.